looking at education spending and policy on this edition of the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. According to the Department of Public Instruction, the graduation rate for the class of 2018, is edging closer to 90%. And the graduation rate has generally trended upward. The numbers suggest a trend towards students opting out of some type of post-secondary education. For students who graduated last year, 59% are enrolled in some form of higher ed. So we're looking closely at trends and issues. We're looking at the governor's budget proposal with your thoughts along the way at 800-642-1234. Parents, what changes would you like to see in your school district? What's going well? Do you have a child with special needs? Are you hopeful Governor Evers' proposal will pass the legislature? Are you in the private school choice programs? What impact has it had on education in Wisconsin? Call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings. Heather Dubois-Bornon is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Public Education Network. That's a nonpartisan coalition that advocates for public schools. Heather, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Will Flanders is here as well, Research Director for the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. That's an organization that advocates for constitutional government. Will, welcome back.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
So let's start with you, Will. You're Research Director for Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Can you tell us how your organization studies and advocates for education policies in light of what you're seeing currently roll out from Governor Evers?
Sure. So we like to think of ourselves as an organization that supports high-quality schools across the board, whether in the public school sector, the choice program, charter schools. Wherever there are high-quality options to be found, we like to support those and help those schools to flourish. And what we see in Governor Evers' budget primarily is that this is a budget that's unfriendly to two of those components. It's unfriendly to charter schools, and it's unfriendly to our voucher program. In terms of the public school spending, I think there, as you talked about in your previous segment, there's probably going to be some increases. And when you talk about things like special needs funding, I think there probably is some room for compromise there. But we're laser focused on those negative components for choice and charter schools.
Heather, you're director of the Wisconsin Public Education Network, and you are looking at a governor who is the former state superintendent of public instruction. What are you seeing here, and how is your network working on the mission of public education?
Well, what we're seeing in this budget is a lot of reflection of the concerns that people have been raising across the state as we've gone to past budget hearings, every hearing of the Blue Ribbon Commission on School Funding. That was a bipartisan panel led by Republican Senator Luther Olson and Republican Representative Joel Kitchens last year. It's a panel consisting of bipartisan members of the legislature and private citizens. And that panel put forward a series of recommendations that really responded to the needs that they heard around the state. And we're trying to connect the dots now between those recommendations and what we see in Dr. Evers, but Governor Evers' budget. Sorry, we're in the habit of calling him that. The common ground is so clear. And so when I hear this talk of, you know, it's politically divisive, or we're gearing up for a budget showdown, I'm wondering, from where I'm sitting, it looks like Democrats and Republicans agree and are in line with public consensus on this issue. Let's do what's best for kids and get some of these things passed.
Well, the governor announced in his budget that it includes several education proposals, that one of them being a return to a two-thirds funding for model for public education, that the state pays for two-thirds of school costs. Former Governor Walker also made commitments to that goal before leaving office. Will, there seems to be a bipartisan support here on this. What do you see here?
I think that's right. In terms of the two-thirds funding, we're actually very close. I believe we're at about 64% to 65% in the previous budget. So even with, you know, some small increases, we can achieve that threshold of two-thirds funding. And I think you're right that there is sort of across-the-board agreement that that's a reasonable direction to go, given that we're actually pretty close to it to begin with.
Heather, why is a two-thirds spending model important to public schools? Why that number?
Well, first of all, it's absolutely critical that the state meet its moral and constitutional obligation to provide for the children in our public schools. But I think the question that Wisconsin needs to ask going into this budget process is two-thirds of what? 2/3 of an extra large pizza is a lot different than 2/3 of a personal pan, if you know what I mean. And so that 2/3 state contribution to the funding only really makes a difference and moves the dial for kids if we also see some restoration of funding that's been lost in the past, in past budget cycles. And also if we give districts the spending power that they've been begging for these many years in the form of revenue limit increases. The funding disparities across the district, coupled with the disparities in how much each district is allowed to spend, are really at the heart of a lot of the frustrations that we hear from school district administrators and business managers around the state. And I think that Governor Evers' budget and the recommendations of that Blue Ribbon Commission really did take aim at solving some of those problems. So 2/3 funding is a great and necessary start, but we have to look at the big picture there and make sure that we're providing enough aid for it to move the dial.
Talking with Heather Dubois-Bornon, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Will Flanders here as well, Research Director for the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you heard about the governor's education proposals? Do you support them? How would they affect education in your community? Join in. You can email ideas at WPR.org. We're going to look at disparities in a moment among districts, but the governor also proposed what some saw as an eye-popping number, Will, $660 million increase for special education funding. Does the Institute support the increase in funding for special ed, or what do you see out of that number?
So I think we can agree that there is a problem with the way we fund special needs education throughout the state. Districts do not get a very high reimbursement rate. The number on its face is quite large. So I think what we need to be cognizant of is just putting more money into the problem doesn't necessarily lead to solutions. You look across the board at data from around the country and research that's been conducted. There's not really a strong relationship in general between increases in spending and student performance. There's some exceptions, but the majority of research tends to suggest there's no direct relationship going on there. So in terms of special needs funding, I think that's one area we can look at for compromise. When we get to the other proposals for increased spending, I think that's where we probably find more disagreement.
Heather, what about the state of special education funding and what is being proposed here?
I think this is absolutely the most critical component of the governor's budget proposal and the most necessary one. We have seen trends over the past decade to defund the way the state provides aids to special education services, such that since 2007-08 school year, we've reduced special education costs by over $369 million.
So what would that, so where do you see this infusion of cash impacting the most for schools? What could they do?
When schools don't get a sufficient reimbursement from the state to cover the needs of their highest cost and highest need learners, they make up for that to provide those mandatory and necessary services to these children by taking aid from their general fund. The Wisconsin Policy Forum put out a report just last month that really exposes the impacts of this on districts across the state. And what they found is that there are at least 10% or more of resources available under the state-imposed per-pupil revenue limits that are being used by over 2/3 of our districts in the state. What that means is that 2/3 of school districts in the state are receiving such insufficient aid from the state to cover these costs that they're sucking it from other programs. And so all kids do suffer. So to Will's point about whether or not injecting more funds into the system increases and improvements on student outcomes, it's absolutely mandatory that we meet these minimum needs and that the state meets its obligation.
Let's go to Ryan now, joining us from Milwaukee with thoughts. Ryan, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind here?
Good, good. So I used to teach for Milwaukee Public Schools here in Milwaukee, and my my understanding of charters came at me after the third Friday of the beginning of every school year, when we would get students from charter and voucher schools that had been kind of counseled out or just told to leave. It fell on us to educate them. I think we did a really admirable job given the resources that we had, But I guess this question is for Will. Given that charters should be massively outperforming Milwaukee public schools and other public schools, given the increased resources they have and their ability to kind of cherry-pick students, the data shows that they're not, and that at best they're keeping up with public schools. So if you're not, you know, agreeing with some of these recommendations from the Blue Ribbon panel, how would you address some of that disparity?
Yeah, sure. So I think the idea that charters are cherry picking their students is somewhat overblown. You know, in Milwaukee, we see across the board there was a good series in the Journal Sentinel on just student movement in general. Students are continually moving from school to school. They move into voucher schools. They move out of charter schools. They move into public schools. So I think, you know, what we see in the data, in fact, when we put control variables in, when we control for student characteristics, when we control for economic background and things of that nature, we do in fact see that our independent charter schools, particularly in our non-instrumentalities, not getting too technical here, but those are district-run charter schools that have some level of independence, those are in fact some of the best performing schools in Milwaukee. And sector-wide, we see a performance advantage for both charter schools and the voucher program once we control for all of those necessary factors.
We are breaking down education policy with two perspectives on the State Capitol report. Heather Dubois-Bournon is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Public Education Network, Will Flanders, Research Director for the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, and you at 800-642-1234. Have you heard about the governor's education proposals? Do you support them? How concerned are you about them? And how would they affect education in your community, in your family? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back with the State Capitol Report in a minute. Maybe hear from you on the Ideas Network. Looking at public education policies and priorities on this edition of the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Governor Evers delivered his first biennial budget last week, and we learned the governor wants the state to fund two-thirds of public school costs. Additionally, the governor is looking to suspend the expansion of independent charter schools and freeze enrollment in the Milwaukee, Racine, and statewide voucher programs. We're talking about the future of education in Wisconsin with our two guests. And you at 800-642-1234. Heather Dubois-Bournon is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Will Flanders here as well, Research Director for the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Let's go back to the phones now with Saeed joining us from Green Bay. Good morning, Saeed.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. I'm calling to ask about accountability. Too often, we equate increased funding with better outcomes, and that is absolutely not true. Now, the most powerful lobby and interest group in the state of Wisconsin, which is WEAC, has put his foot man in the governor's office, and we're talking about increasing funding. How can you assure us taxpayers that this funding is going to go to improving outcomes and not simply to support the contributors of WEAC?
Heather, I'm going to have you field that an infusion of cash should mean better outcomes.
Right. Well, I couldn't agree more with the caller that we need to ensure that our schools are equipped to provide services that guarantee outcomes that our kids and our communities deserve. And what I hear and what the governor and others have in the legislature have heard as they've gone around the state is that we are not currently meeting those needs for our kids or our schools. We look at the areas this budget really hones in on in providing additional aids, special education, as we mentioned, which the state used to fund at 70% and now only reimburses at 24.5% of actual costs. You know, this is a huge gap for districts. So areas like mental health aid, helping English language learners, aid that would help districts attract and retain the best teachers. Full day 4K, something we know is absolutely essential to making sure we're meeting the needs of our kids and getting them ready to fully participate in school at the youngest possible levels. All of those are things that we know do improve and increase outcomes. And so if we invest in the things that we know are needed most first, that's a budget that's about priorities, not politics, and really responds to the concerns that we've heard around the state.
Well, in recent years, communities across the state have passed referenda to increase taxes for their local school districts, and Governor Evers highlighted that this is unsustainable in the budget address. So what costs should the state cover, and what costs should be up to local taxpayers?
Yes. So I think the caller had a good point that when you look over the long term, when you look back, not just through the Walker years, but in earlier years, and you track spending, spending has increased exponentially since the 1980s, and outcomes on things like the NAEP that are sort of comparable over time are very flat. So I think we don't really see effective spending. So that, you know, we need to, if we're going to spend more, we need to make sure it's in a smart way, in a targeted way, and not just putting more money into the funding formula as it stands. In terms of what should be local control, I think there is wisdom in letting localities have some level of say in what their level their schools are funded at. I think going to referendum twice a year is probably sufficient, which is the current limitation, rather than allowing referendum after referendum after referendum, as I think is the governor's proposal. But I think maintaining some level of local control is certainly the way to go.
Heather, how bad are district disparities? I mean, is this a rural-urban divide, or does it go deeper than that?
It goes deep and it crosses the entire state. Some of it makes sense. Some of it follows patterns of poverty and low-income communities, which tend to have less funding and get less of a tax base. Some of it doesn't make sense and is linked to setting arbitrary revenue limits in the early 1990s that remain to this day and really don't correspond to the demographic needs or the funding needs of districts. So we're calling for funding fairness, funding that's matched to student needs and not property values. A weighted funding formula like many other states had that really addresses the fact that some kids do cost more to educate and looks at how many of those kids are being served by a particular district or school. That's a great start towards making sure that we're equitably providing the needs for our kids in schools. We invite people to look at our website, wisconsinnetwork.org. We've got a series of maps that show what these funding disparities look like in terms of special education costs and revenue limit disparities. I think if you go to those maps and click on your own district, you'll be surprised to see how you might differ from your neighbors.
Let's go to Joe now, joining us from Rice Lake. Joe, hi. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, and I hope everybody's staying warm this morning. My question is on accountability, and it's directed towards Mr. Landers. Does your organization only advocate for the continuance of the voucher school program, or do you advocate for the continuance of voucher schools as well as increased accountability and transparency? Right now, the state legislature holds public education, and by public education, I mean K-12, our local technical college system, and UW system schools, accountable relative to the line item on your property tax bill. We all know how much we're paying our local school boards, our local technical college, and UW system schools. But there's been a reluctance on the Republican side of the state house to include a line item that calls out how many public taxpayer dollars are being shoveled over to the basically private, for-profit, and unaccountable voucher schools.
So it looks like Joe is
accountability.
Looking for more transparency there.
So a couple of things to note. I think that there's a group called EdChoice that sort of is a voucher supporting organization, a national group, and they rank voucher programs on their level of accountability and the level of regulation that they face. In their rankings, the Milwaukee program and our other programs in the state that tend to follow the same sort of regulatory regime are often ranked as some of the most regulated programs in the country. So I think when folks say that it's unaccountable, I think there's a good counter argument that can be made that we have a good deal of accountability. In terms of property taxes, I think the important thing to emphasize is that these are kids that are no longer attending the district school, and we don't necessarily put property tax we don't put things onto the property tax bill for kids, for instance, that move to another district, for kids that open enroll out of the district. So, you know, if we're going to put it on there for voucher schools, if we're going to put the quote-unquote cost to the district of voucher schools, I think those things should have to be included as well. But I don't see a lot of folks on that oppose vouchers supporting that sort of accountability.
Yeah, I was just looking at EdChoice numbers this morning, and you raise it here. Wisconsin ranks third in total spending on vouchers when you compared to when you combine K-12 expenditures as well. We're behind Florida and Ohio. Does that sit well, spending $272 million on the voucher programs?
Sure. So that sounds like a large number, right? But it's actually a pretty small percentage of GPR. We're spending about 4% of GPR on the voucher program, or I think 4.4%. Much smaller, obviously, than what we're spending on our public schools. You know, and the important thing to emphasize for this, from the state perspective, is that it's a savings to the state. The voucher students are funded at about $8,000 per pupil. The public school students are funded over $10,500 per pupil. So it's, from the state's perspective, it's a savings to put more students into the voucher programs.
Heather, I'm going to have you probably have the last word here. We'll see. But is this the right approach in terms of the level of spending for voucher programs?
Wisconsin cannot continue to fund a voucher program at the expense of its public schools. We've got about 40,000 kids in the state who participate in that program. We have 860,000 children attending our public schools. And the fiscal challenges facing those kids and their locally controlled, democratically elected, board-controlled schools are so great right now. Wisconsin cannot afford to continue expanding these programs and watching these dollars be siphoned out of its public schools without any of the sort of accountability people have been clamoring for. It's just unsustainable. But I don't think this budget is really about vouchers, even though that's a small part of it. It's really about finding policies and programs that are going to work for kids so that we can really get something done and make a difference that moves things in this state forward.
Heather, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Heather Dubois-Bournon is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Public Education Network. Will, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Will Flanders is Research Director for the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty. Just ahead, it's Mondays with Mike. We're talking with WPR Director Mike Crane. What questions do you have? 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. This is the Ideas Network.